This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Remember more than a decade ago when the only way to get music on your computer was to download it illegally? This is in the world before Spotify, before iTunes Radio, before Pandora.
Napster shook up the music industry in dramatic ways. And now there's a new technology out there that is poised to do the same thing to the TV and film industries.
It's called Popcorn Time. And joining us now to tell us more is Boston Globe technology columnist Hiawatha Bray. He wrote about it in the paper. And Hiawatha, welcome back to you.
Yeah, hi. Glad to be here.
Great to have you. So I understand that you downloaded Popcorn Time on your work computer, I guess, because of its questionable legality and gave it a spin. How does it work?
Well, the worrisome thing for the movie industry should be that it works just fine. It was created, apparently, by a couple of people in, of all places, Buenos Aires, Argentina, who created it, posted it online, and then announced that they were taking it down because they were terrified about possible legal repercussions. But they open-sourced the software. In other words, they made it available to anybody who wanted it. And so it's still floating around out there. And if you hunt around, you can still find it and download it and try it.
And when you try it, what happens? I mean, you write about how it's written, it's designed to work with torrent streams, essentially. But the key thing here is, like, you can stream movies for free.
That is right. Traditionally, when you use, I don't know how many people know about BitTorrent, but it's one of these ways that was developed over the years to allow you to download files. The way BitTorrent works is that the files aren't being downloaded from one central computer. In fact, there can be dozens of different computers, and BitTorrent downloads a piece of the file from each of them. And at the same time, your computer is being used to upload to other people the same file. So it's a gigantic sharing of little pieces of a file. And if enough people are doing it, you get very fast downloads. But the thing is, you used to have to download the whole movie in one big chunk. With Popcorn Time, it just downloads these movies and streams them so that you don't keep a permanent copy on your computer. You're just watching it the same way you would Netflix. And it just comes right in and you're looking at it. And the problem, I think, that will really worry a lot of people in the industry is that it is as easy as Netflix. It's just you put this on your computer, you start it up, and on your screen you see this black box appear with the posters and the images from a whole bunch of movies. You click one of them and the movie just starts to run.
But the difference, of course, at least for now, is unlike Netflix, Popcorn Time is free.
Absolutely. You are not paying a dime for this. And that's what's going to really worry a lot of people. Because it's been, people have said basically, well, this music sharing thing is a lot harder to get a handle on because music files are small, easily downloaded, easy to handle. It's much harder to do this kind of thing with video. Not anymore.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, you can just sit down in front of a computer, and this runs on Windows or Mac computers if you can find the software.
Yeah, you know,
and you just click and it goes.
So, Hiawatha, I'm sorry to interrupt there, but I think the most compelling point that you raised in your article about Popcorn Time was that A, this was inevitable because technology marches on, and B, I mean, the entertainment industry has, they've already been through this with what had disrupted the music industry as we know it. Do we think, is there any evidence that TV and filmmakers, the folks who distribute and make this content, have learned the lesson from the music industry?
I don't see much sign of it, really. One of the reasons that this is going to catch on, and it was one of the very things I think made music swapping catch on. People assumed that it was all just people who wanted to steal music and not pay for it. But what you have to remember is that back in the early, like around 2000 or thereabouts, when file swapping for music really caught on, there was no easy way to just go online and buy music. They didn't have it. If you wanted to get a digital copy of your favorite songs, you either had to buy the disc and make it yourself, or you'd have to go out and steal it basically off the internet. Mm-hmm. Nobody had a little store where you could go and say, I'll just buy an MP3 of my favorite Beatles songs. You couldn't do it. And that, I think, is the same problem faced by the movie industry now, which has a bizarre and utterly Byzantine system of distribution of movies that makes no sense at all. Why can't you? Let me put it this way. Here's the core problem. And I tried to write about this last year, and the movie industry won't even talk to you about it. Here's the question. Why can't I just sit down in front of my computer, paying for it, mind you, I expect to pay for it, and watch any movie I want? Why can't I do that?
Yeah.
It's because of the licensing arrangements that the movie industry makes for all their movies and TV shows, where you can look at something in some places, but not in other places, when you can find it online sometimes during the year, other times it's not there, sometimes they'll let you rent it, other times you have to buy it, and it changes almost hourly, and it drives you nuts.
Well, Hiawatha, let me ask you, because what we've seen some content producers, I'm thinking, you know, HBO, for example,
yeah.
You can get HBO content online, you know, if you're a subscriber,
right.
Et cetera. But what's stopping other, you know, producers of major films, like maybe Universal Studios, from starting their own version of Netflix today?
Well, I don't know why this hasn't been done. Oh, don't even get me started about this weird thing that Warner has. You know, Warner Brothers. They have their own site, and almost everything you would want to see that Warner Brothers has produced over the decades is not there. I have no idea why it's not there. You go there, I heard about it, and they said, oh, great, okay, maybe I'll just have to get these movies from Warner, but that's okay. I'll go there, and I'll look at my old favorite Humphrey Bogart and James Cagney movies. Most of them aren't there.
Wow.
And I don't know why. It's the complex licensing agreements that they set up, and I can't make any sense of it. Why? I mean, Goldfinger, I mentioned in my column, 50-year-old movie, but it's still hugely popular. Why can't I just look at that online whenever I want to? You can find it online, but right now you have to buy the movie. You cannot rent it and look at it once. But last year when I went to Netflix, it was there, and I could watch it, and then they took it down
again. And then they took it away, right.
Yes, and it's crazy. And I have no idea why they do it that way. I'm sure over the years it has made them a huge amount of money, but now it's going to come back to bite them, because if they shoot, we don't know if they'll be able to shoot down Popcorn Time. I'm not sure how they could. But even if they do, something will come along to replace it.
Such is the march of technology, the disrupting march of technology. Well, Hiawatha Bray is telling us about Popcorn Time, and he writes about technology for the Boston Globe. Hiawatha, thanks so much.
Thanks very much.
And I should also mention that Hiawatha Bray's new book is You Are Here, From the Compass to GPS, The History and Future of How We Find Ourselves. He'll be talking about it with Tom Ashbrook on Point tomorrow.
And that's our program today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.